Buzz Indy 101.5. Hamilton's home for alternative.
Good evening, everybody. I am Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, as always, and I hope your Tuesday's been fantastic. Tonight, I'm hanging out with Derek Solomos. He's a metal/hard rock guitarist for the bands Corrosive and The Slime, and he's based in Toronto. You can find Derek online at DerekDMoney98 on Instagram or under Derek Solomos on everything else. You can find his bands Corrosive and The Slime on all streaming services and Bandcamp. So, hey, Derek.
What's going on?
Not much right now. How's your day been?
It's been fine. You know, just been, the last little while has been, preparing for the upcoming Corrosive show on the 16th, so this Saturday, with Canadian metal legends Exciter. We've also been working on our second record just within the last couple months, and we have a new video coming out, should be out real soon.
Wow, so you're busy.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good for you. I mean, that's awesome. And a lot of stuff to plug today, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And just to kind of, start everything off and to introduce you, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
As a musician, like, in terms of, like, my band or, like, just me in general?
Yeah, you could say you in general, what you bring to the bands that you're a part of, that sort of thing.
Okay, well, both bands are a little bit different stylistically. I mean, Corrosive mainly plays what is generally considered thrash metal. So, like, our influences are basically, like, old school Metallica, Sepultura, Sodom, Creator, Slayer, Megadeth, like, those kinds of bands. And The Slime is more along the lines of, like, hardcore punk, so, like, Minor Threat, Black Flag, The Circle Jerks, those kinds of bands really kind of, DRI, that really kind of influences the sound of, of them. I guess, what do I bring? Well, in The Slime, I'm the only guitar player. In Corrosive, I'm one of two.
Mm-hmm.
And in Corrosive, I guess I try to bring what I can to the table, because as a musician, you try to be as creative as you can. And the great thing about a band like Corrosive is that I feel like I can use what I write, and I believe it's made me a better riff writer. And in The Slime, playing punk is definitely not as difficult to write riffs to, but it still does require you to, focus a lot on your originality, because considering so much has been done before,
mm-hmm.
So you really try to keep it as original as you can. That's what I try to do all the time, at least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
As a musician myself, on the guitar would easily be Angus Young of AC/DC. He's my all-time guitar hero,
mm-hmm.
And will be, like, forever. But besides him, Tony Iommi, Black Sabbath, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, Dimebag Darrell of Pantera, and James Hetfield of Metallica would really be my all-time biggest influences on guitar in terms of my style and my playing and in terms of my lead work. I'm influenced by a lot.
Yeah.
And I try to incorporate as much as I can from my influences while also creating your own sound, because you want to sound original. You don't want to sound like everybody else, which is very hard to stand out in today's world.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like. like.
Yeah, it's very oversaturated. Yeah.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel as though you take from your influences specifically? Like their sound style, their production, their stage presence? What would you say?
Well, depending on who it is, because, you know, I'm influenced by them all in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when I first heard AC/DC as a child, that's what was, like, in many ways, what was the utmost inspiration for me to start playing. But obviously I don't play like that. You know, if anybody who's listened to AC/DC knows, they don't sound like any of the metal I play. But in terms of, but the stage presence is definitely has a strong, there's a strong influence there, stage presence wise. In terms of like tight rhythm playing, that's where somebody like James Hetfield would be, you know, a huge influence because Jack and I are both, Jack's the other guitar player in Corrosive, we both have a very, very strong emphasis on very tight rhythm playing. So we try to make sure that's as tight as possible, because that's what makes the band, what gives Corrosive at least our own unique sound.
Totally, yeah. And do you remember what you listened to as a kid, or like what your family played around the house growing up?
And mainly classic rock stuff.
Okay, yeah.
What was the second part of that question? Sorry, I cut you off.
That's okay. Do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
They definitely kind of got me started in terms of, I'd say, like, my musical beginnings, but I wouldn't say that I was like strongly influenced by much, because like at the time I remember hearing things like the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and the Kinks, all of which I like, but none of that really influenced me as much as like a lot of the other stuff that I had previously mentioned in the last question.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, well, so I find that with most musicians, there's a period in their life where they find a single or like an album, and it makes them go, wow, I wish I made that. And that sort of encourages them to then create music of their own. Do you feel as though you had that experience?
More than once, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of a million albums right now off the top of my head where I can say to myself, wow, I wish I made that.
Yeah.
There's probably hundreds of them.
Cool.
To be honest. But just to name one off the top of my head, I mean, And Justice for All by Metallica would be one of them. I mean, that's arguably one of my all-time favorite albums and one that has, like, a bunch of my all-time favorite songs on it. So that would definitely be one of them that I say, if somebody said, if you could do that, if you could have written that album, I would have chosen that one at least what I can think of right now.
Yeah, cool. And how did you first get into playing music? And did you start on the guitar, or was there a first instrument before the guitar, or what happened there?
I started with the guitar.
Okay.
Right away. I previously mentioned Angus Young being my biggest influence to start playing, and he definitely was, but before that, I first watched School of Rock when I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And soon after that, I would bug my parents daily to sign me up for guitar lessons. And within that same year, the fall of that year, so we're talking 2007 now, I started learning guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, you know, I tried to do as best as I could.
Mm-hmm. I hear
that. And here I am today.
Yeah.
I teach guitar lessons now, actually. Like, to think all these years later that I would be teaching guitar as well, it's like pretty crazy to think.
Oh, cool. How has that been?
It's been good. Yeah, I've had two teaching jobs now. I had one that I got at the end of, like, around, like, September of 2019, so, like, you know, about 6 months before the pandemic really kind of started, and I recently just got a new one. I just got a new one now after being out of that field for a while, so it's great to be back in it. It's great to actually be, you know, doing what I guess I set out to do.
Yeah. Well, congrats. Is it, you know, doing well for you? Is it a good experience so far?
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, it's relative. I just started like 2 weeks ago, but mm-hmm. it's been, you know, leagues better than the last job I had, which was basically working as an associate in a warehouse.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard a lot of those, for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to dwell too much on that, though.
No problem. And speaking of instruments, are there any that you don't play that you'd love to learn?
I'm at a point where I can't really say that I would have the enthusiasm to learn another instrument, but if I could go back and learn another instrument along with the guitar, it would probably be the drums.
Cool. And were you confident from the get-go when you started learning how to play? And if not, when did you develop that confidence?
Oh, definitely not. At first, I was definitely not confident because you sit there and you look around and there's all these guys that are like leagues better than you. And quite frankly, sometimes that still happens. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel like I have a little bit more, I've accomplished a lot more since then. So I definitely don't feel that same sort of like nervousness or insecurity about my playing like that, like I used to. Mm-hmm. But over time, I want to say it took me about 2 or 3 years to really get in the groove.
Totally.
And like feel comfortable about where I was in terms of how my abilities had kind of progressed, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I believe you went to Mohawk for music school.
I did, yes.
Yeah. Outside of Mohawk, did you take any other like professional lessons?
Before I was at Mohawk, yes, but since, no.
Okay. And how was your time at Mohawk? How did you find that program?
Definitely, definitely helped me, as particularly with my playing abilities. I think I definitely learned a lot more about theory that I otherwise wouldn't have learned in like just from taking individual classes. I feel like they really, you know, drove that point home. I do wish there was a bit more theory classes, though. I feel like there's so much more I think I could have learned. But overall, I was definitely satisfied with it.
Amazing. And what do you think was the most important lesson that you took away from that program?
Treat every gig with professionalism. That's definitely the number one thing.
Awesome. And what was the point when you stopped playing music, so playing other people's music, and started creating your own?
Well, the first band I was really in was like, I guess I was like 13 or something like that, but we didn't write any originals. So to answer the question, I guess I would say around, we'll call it 2017 or 18, when I joined my first rock band, Type 99, whom I'm no longer in. But that would be, I guess, the time when I first was in a band that was playing, I don't want to say solely original music, because at our gigs we did do covers live, but the first time I was really playing original songs instead of just exclusively covers.
Yeah. And what did that band look like?
Well, for a period of time, I played bass until we got a bass player. And I mean, it was good for the time. But you know, sometimes musical differences get in the way, and it's not an uncommon thing.
Yeah.
So there definitely wasn't really much to stick around for at the time, even though the time I had with them was definitely enjoyable and I don't regret it. So that definitely was the first time I really played in a band with any original songs. And then I was in another band at the time, another metal band called Soul Sanctum, which kind of dissolved a bit after like, after some time, like around, I left that band in 2021, and then that was about it in terms of like original stuff for that, along with this other rock band I was in at the time called Zephyr. I'm still close with all the members, but that was, I guess, like the first few bands I was in where there was original music being written.
For sure. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
I always thought of it as more than a hobby. When I was 9, I knew that this is what I wanted to do. I never second guessed it.
And When did you, when was the first time you performed either with a band or performed solo, and how was that experience?
Technically, I was 12, mm-hmm. and I played a show at this band camp that I was in. Mm-hmm. So technically, that was my first show. Although, if we're talking like in a band besides that, I was 13 with this band that I had met through another band camp, but we continued working together after it had ended, and it was October 7th or 6th, I believe, of 2011, and I played at the Living Arts Center in Mississauga.
Cool.
It was opening for a bunch of, other, well-known, I guess, stars of the time, for lack of a better word.
Right. Yeah, and how was that experience for you? Were you nervous? How was that?
I was so excited that if there were any nerves, they were completely buried by my excitement.
Yeah, awesome. It's great to hear.
Because I thought when I was 13, when you're 13, you don't really know a whole lot.
No.
So at that time, I thought that was going to be the kickstart for my career. I thought I was going to be famous from all that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to start making all this money. But of course, as you get older, you kind of realize that that's not always a reality.
Yeah.
So, so that was my first ever, I guess we'll call it semi-professional show. Because it was put on by a professional promoter and all and stuff.
Totally. Yeah. And how did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
Oh, they've been very supportive since the very beginning. And I'm very lucky that I've had the support that I've had, because I know lots of people who have not had that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know how it feels like to not have that support, because I've had it the whole way through.
Yeah.
It's been nothing but support.
Amazing. And what was the music scene like in your hometown growing up?
I grew up in Toronto initially for the first 5 years of my life, so I didn't really know what was going on music-wise in terms of those, I guess, call it primitive years.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in Mississauga now. In Mississauga, there's not really much of a metal scene, mm-hmm. if any, really. Even though Corrosive is sort of based out of Toronto, but we were our vocalist Rad, he lives in Brampton, so we go to his house and we rehearse in his garage. But we still consider ourselves to be a Toronto band. So I guess the Toronto scene, there's some good bands. We've played with quite a few of them. Within the sort of GTA, we've also played, there's a really great metal scene, actually, a small kind of local scene in Kitchener.
Mm.
Actually, there's a few really good bands out of Kitchener that have released albums and EPs in the last, 6-7 years.
Cool.
And some of them are killing it right now.
Huh.
So that's really where the prime Canadian metal scene is right now that I'm aware of. I'm sure there's probably others that I don't know about, but that's mm-hmm. what I've seen mainly.
Cool. Cool. And, so you're now back in Toronto, and, mm-hmm. What are your general opinions about being back in Toronto and about that local music scene?
Well, can you repeat the question? Sorry.
Sure. How do you feel about being back in Toronto, and how do you feel about that music scene? Because, also you were previously, when you went to Mohawk for college, you were in the Hamilton music scene for a while, right?
More or less.
Yeah. I mean, as a student there, the culture, you end up playing the bars and stuff, right? So going back to Toronto and being in that music scene, how is it today, and how is it, what's your opinion on it?
Oh, okay. I understand the question now. Well, it's good. I mean, we've played with, as I mentioned previously, we've played with, some of these bands now, and the scene is good. I'm surprised that a lot of these venues that we were petrified would close down due mm-hmm. to COVID, but many of them have actually survived somehow. And,
good.
We've, myself and Corrosive, along with the Slime, we've played at multiple venues. We played the Rock Pile, the Hard Luck, just to name a couple. We've also played the Doors Pub in Hamilton. So we've done quite a bit. And actually, Corrosive last year performed out of town for the first time, outside the sort of general Toronto Hamilton area. Last year, we performed in Ottawa.
Hmm. Cool.
In November of last year, and that was one of the best shows I think we ever did, and it was cool to travel and play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I enjoyed about it so much. It was a win-win right there. Loved
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Now, because this this radio show is based in Hamilton, while you were at Mohawk and, you know, playing Hamilton venues and stuff, how did you feel about the local scene there?
Well, just to clarify, when I was at Mohawk in mm-hmm. Type 99, I didn't play in Hamilton at all. We only played Toronto gigs.
Oh.
The only time I've played Hamilton gigs has been within the last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, both times with the Slime. There might be a Corrosive show there sometime soon, but we don't know yet. We're trying to figure that out right now.
Okay. When you went to Mohawk, did you frequent shows like as someone in the crowd, as a listener?
In hindsight, I wish I'd done more.
Okay. Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel as though you have enough experience to even have an opinion on the scene or no?
I can't really speak to it, to be honest.
Sure. No problem.
I'd be lying if I said I could.
Yeah, absolutely. And why go back to Toronto? Do you feel as though that's a space that you'd like to stick around for a long time, or would you want to
think? Go ahead, sorry.
That's okay. Do you have any plans to maybe go to the States at any point? Do you, what do you feel about that?
Well, I'd love to. I mean, because we do want to get our music out there more. You know, we don't just want to be one of those bands that kind of sticks to their local scene and then that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the goal is always to take your music elsewhere.
Sure.
Because that's how you get more recognition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're comfortable in Toronto, but you would like to expand?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
One band that we played with recently, it's all teenagers hmm. from age 16 to 19. They're called Blood Wraith.
Hmm.
They're like kind of like a death metal band, and they're all very talented, all way better than I was when I was their age. So I would definitely say them. We really love playing with them. We love the guys too. They're all really nice. One band from Kitchener that's really good is Invicta. Their guitar player right now is on tour in Europe with this band from the 80s from the San Francisco Bay Area thrash scene called Heathen.
Hmm.
He's replacing their current guitar player right now on tour. So those are just a couple bands I would give shout outs to. We're also good friends with this one band called Vesication, who we've gigged with on multiple occasions. So those would be three bands I'd say are deserving of a bit more attention than they're getting right now. I'm sure there's more, and I'm sure I've missed them. So if anybody is listening, sorry, I didn't give you all the attention you wanted.
No problem.
But those are just a few.
Yeah.
There's a lot to name.
Oh, totally. That's honestly the answer every time I ask that question. There's just people who are like, oh my God, there's so many. Like,
yeah, there's so many to name.
Yeah. And, If you could collaborate with anybody, and I mean, you know, go big on this one, anybody, who would you choose?
I'm picking up my brain here.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do, I mean, I'm not one who's like crazy about collabs, but if I could do one, I would want to, if it was for, let's say, to do a guitar solo on a song, right now, I would say Gary Holt from Exodus.
Hmm. Cool. Cool.
It just like first thing came to the top of my head.
Yeah. And is there anybody local that you'd love to collab on something with?
Actually, yes. It's a much older band, but I still consider them local. Rob Urbanati of Sacrifice, guitar player and vocalist for Sacrifice. That would be one local artist I would guess I would want to collaborate with, even though they've toured elsewhere and stuff, and they've been around for a long, long time, since the 80s. I still consider them local.
Amazing. Yeah, totally. And we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from one of Derek's bands, Corrosive. Burning Earth 2029 is a single from 2021 about the end of the world and what it could look like in 2029. For anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Toronto-based metal-slash-hard-rock guitarist Derek Solomos. We just came back from playing Burning Earth 2029 by one of the bands that you're a part of, Derek, which is Corrosive. And I believe you weren't a part of that songwriting process, were you? You came in afterwards.
I was not.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the background of that song and like how it was put together, or maybe how that album was put together? Do you know any of that?
Vaguely. I don't want to say anything that's untrue, and if the other members hear this, they can probably correct me if there's any you know, anomalies here and there that are or what have you. But
sure.
The album was really done. They recorded the album with they wrote the album, I should say, with an original guitar player who's no longer a part of the band. And they wrote the album basically throughout the first year of COVID, and were supposed to record in late 2020, but that got pushed into 2021. The original guitar player had left the band. And then it was down to just one guitar player. So Jack, our other guitar player, had to do all the rhythms and leads for the entire album. And so it was a long, stressful process, you know, based on what was happening in the world. And, of course, a member, you know, leaving the band. That's all I really know about it. I'm sure there's a lot more that is like other business stuff that I'm not exactly sure of, and I probably don't need to know.
Sure. And when did you join Corrosive?
Officially auditioned in February of 2021, joined about 2 weeks later in March.
Cool. That was quick.
Yeah, no, they saw something in me, and they took a chance on me, and I don't regret a minute of it.
Cool. What are the lyrics on Burning Earth 2029 about?
It's basically, how I perceive it as, because I didn't write the song.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that the song really has sort of a futuristic kind of sci-fi feel to it, but also kind of digging into what really could happen in the world based on current events, and, you know, because at the end of the day, like, you know, there is always, like, in most music, not all, but most, there's, you know, always kind of certain hidden political messages here and there, and certain, like, you know, like where things are going. You know, that's always kind of been the case. So it is one of those songs where I feel like it talks about what could happen, like, you know, I guess, you know, 7 years from now, and just the state of the world, you know, based on where we're going.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, written in 2021, I get that.
Yeah,
yep.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And do you know how the song was recorded and, like, who produced it and those details?
Yes. The song was, it was recorded, within Toronto at this studio that is now shut down, but
Oh, I just said, that sucks.
Yeah, but we have a great new studio now, which we're just at recently, and it was produced by a guy named Ben Erickson, who's arguably the best producer that I've ever worked with in terms of music. This guy knows everything about, like, the gear needed to record. He knows how to edit, knows how to do everything that a producer should know how to do. So I would recommend him to anybody who's looking to record anything, because he doesn't just do metal stuff. He does a wide variety of stuff. So if anybody wants to record with him, I know for a fact that he will do his best to accommodate what you're doing.
Sweet. A man of many hats.
Oh yeah, for sure. And a tremendous guy too.
Cool. Cool. So it was recorded with him and also produced?
Yes. Yeah. The mastering was done by somebody else. I forget who mastered the album, but it wasn't. But that was not him.
Okay.
But he produced is and he's also doing that with our upcoming album.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah.
Cool. And what do you hope that listeners take away from that song?
Just to, I, I would say in terms of what to take away from it, like just to think about, just think about what's going on in mm-hmm. the world, mm-hmm. you know, which I find that, you know, too many people are very apathetic to what happens unless they themselves are affected by something personally. Mm-hmm. So I would say the main message is to just, you know, don't blindly follow. Mm-hmm. Always question. Mm-hmm. Always make sure you're on top of things. And, you know, make sure that you know what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. That would be my takeaway.
Totally, totally. At the end of this interview, we will be playing Slaughter the Preacher, a single also by Corrosive. And I'm guessing it's the same sort of thing. You weren't there for the creation of that song.
That would be correct, yes.
Okay. And do you know what those lyrics are about?
I think mainly the main sort of idea about the lyrics was, I mean, there's a long history in heavy metal music about making songs that are like against religion. I mm-hmm. mean, that's nothing new. I mean, that goes way back.
Yeah.
You know, so something like this is, you know, it kind of follows in that vein. And we have a video coming up for that song, actually, to be released very soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that, any Corrosive fans who are listening to this. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it seems to me that the lyrics are mainly about, I mean, yes, the atrocities of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that's, in many ways, what has caused a lot of, like what's going on now in the world, really, like, especially if people who are following, like, in terms of, like in the States, for example, where the court is using religion as a way to justify and rationalize their actions when it comes to overturning as recently abortion rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're using, so, I mean, my takeaway from a song like that is to, I mean, again, it's similar in a way to Burning Earth, but with a slightly different twist to it. Like, make sure you're on top of things, because, you know, a world full of apathy does not get you anywhere. If anything, it's just, you know, people who blindly follow, they're only allowing for the worst to happen.
Yeah.
Or potentially the worst to happen. Because
mm-hmm.
nothing was ever accomplished by people just sitting there on their bottoms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And do you know, is that recorded and produced with the same man then?
This will be, yes. The upcoming album as well, yes. Ben Erickson will be doing that as well.
Cool. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from Slaughter the Preacher when listening to it?
Basically what I said a second ago, like how, you know, you have to, you know, make sure that, you know, you really focus on just make sure that you're informed, because, mm-hmm. you know, history is not something, it's something we can all use as a guide. And, you know, in terms of what religion has been used to justify throughout history, it's never really something that I've taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that it's a dangerous and slippery slope when it's used to control people and to use as government policy, because as a, you know, in a truly free society, they would be two separate things completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry that we're going backwards in many instances. So my message to people would be just don't let us go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be my takeaway from a lot of lyrics especially those ones, and, you know, of course, many others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems as though sometimes we need to repeat history over and over again to, like, learn from it. And that sucks.
Well, it comes down to education in a lot of ways, because I don't believe that it's really taught as well as it should be.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of people had to learn certain things that, you know, they weren't taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a shame, because, you know, you can find a lot of people who know a lot of things that, you know, are just never going to get get taught to you because the curriculum is rigged in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. And do you have a favorite Corrosive song?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
It's one coming up off the new album. I'm not going to give too much away about it, but my favorite song from Caustic Horridsville, which was the debut album. If I had to pick a favorite song from that album, it would be Terminal Violence for sure.
Okay.
That was the first song that the band ever taught me. And, I always really liked the riffs on it. It's a song that I also do a guitar solo on. So I always like when I can, you know, play some cool riffs plus, you know, rip a great guitar solo.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And, yeah. Do you have a favorite The Slime song?
Yes, I do, actually. And that would be my favorite Slime song. Just to be also clear, I also didn't record the Slime EP that came out this year.
Yeah.
Called Living on Borrowed Slime. but if I was to choose a favorite song from the Slime, it would be Death Champs.
Okay. Cool. And how did you meet Corrosive?
Corrosive was done through Kijiji, actually. Uh-huh. They placed an ad looking for a second guitar player, mm-hmm. which was funny because about 4 years prior, in 2017, I saw Corrosive open for one of my favorite modern metal bands. So I was intrigued by them then, and I would keep hearing a close friend of mine talk about them a lot. So then eventually, after all these years, and I had just quit Soul Sanctum and Zephyr at the time, thinking I was done with music, I was in a very sort of rough stage, so to speak. But then I found Corrosive, and I was like over the moon when I found that opportunity. And they got back to me, and we set up an audition, and, you know, it worked out.
Beautiful. Look at that. And how did you meet The Slime?
The Slime, I met through, so CD and I, he's the bass player in The Slime, mm-hmm. we've been friends for a few years. I met him through some friends that I knew from York University. And soon after, I want to say within the same year, within 2021, kind of like after like people started to get vaccinated and stuff and shows started to come back, The Slime appeared on a bill with Corrosive.
Mm-hmm.
In September of last year, and soon after, their current guitar player, who was with them at the time, he left the band. So they needed a second guitar player. So after they auditioned a couple guys, they came to me because CD and I, the bass player, were very good friends. So he asked me, and I fit right in. I like the music already, so that's how I met them, and I've been with them now since October of last year.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you compare the band's styles?
Both are different, but like Corrosive is like more metal, and The Slime is definitely more like hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, hardcore definitely had a big influence on metal. If you really want to go back and like take a look at, you know, the history of both genres, you know, one had a huge influence on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And even metal on the other, because at one point during the late 80s, a lot of bands that started off strictly as like punk or hardcore bands started to become closer, a little bit closer to metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was influenced in both ways. So the styles are different, but they definitely have their slight similarities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And do you feel as though you approach your role in both bands differently, or how would you say?
I would say yes, but not in a bad way. They're just, you know, stylistically different, so it allows me to focus strictly on that one.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense, because I feel like if I'm only playing one style, then I feel like I'll be creatively compromised, because mm-hmm. I'll be trying to do this, which is similar to that. But whereas with this, I feel like if I write something, I'm not going to compare it to something I'm doing with Corrosive. Or so if I do something with The Slime, I feel like I'm not going to compare it to that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it gives me a chance to be a little bit, to be diverse in terms of how I write.
Yeah. And do you have similar influences within like Corrosive and also within the Slime, or do they differ from each bandmate, or how is that?
We all like relatively the same music. There isn't really, we're not like, we don't sit there and are like, oh, no, we don't like this band, or well, no, we don't like this band. We all have similar, we all like similar bands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And how has your style changed since you first began playing?
Like with the bands, or since I started playing guitar in general?
I guess in general, but do you feel as though it's changed dramatically since you started these bands as well?
I would say not exactly. I mean, in terms of how I approach a lot of things, yes, because I've definitely become a better player since joining both bands.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the answer to that question is yes, because I definitely didn't think I was that great of a riff writer before that, because I would write some,
mm-hmm.
but now I feel like I've improved dramatically, mm-hmm. through some tough love as well. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But it helped. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to stage presence with both bands, do you find as though those are different at all? How would you say?
No, they're not at all. The stage presence is just about the same with both. The energy and the intensity is practically the same. With both genres that are relatively frenetic in terms of their sound and very sort of aggressive in terms of their sound, mm-hmm. it definitely doesn't limit me in terms of stage presence. If anything, I do similar things to what I do in both bands.
Cool.
Both bands have similar kind of stage presence because it's aggressive music.
Yeah. Do you feel as though these bands, being a part of them and playing their music and playing with, you know, the band members, have they influenced your style?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They've made me better players.
Yeah.
And it's just something that I wouldn't have been able to do if I wasn't with them, because you know, a lot of times it's very difficult to give your band members tough love.
Mm.
But the ones that do are always the most honest, and it's the ones I appreciate the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't ever improve without a little bit of tough love.
Yeah.
And I feel like that definitely has made me better. And you want to continue to get better. You don't just want to stay in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep rising up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not going down the slide.
Yeah. And what do you feel as though is the biggest lesson that you've taken away from playing within these bands?
The biggest lesson would be prepared for anything.
Hmm.
Because music is one of those careers that is really, really tough.
Yeah.
And it's something I didn't know that going in, because this life shows me. I never once... thought, like, if you go into the music industry thinking you're going to get rich, you might want to choose a different career path.
Mm-hmm.
But you do actually want to, make sure that you go in with a plan B.
Totally. Totally. And, how do you see your sound evolving in the future?
That's actually a great question. Honestly, you're picking up my brain here. That's a great question.
That's the point, I guess. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I need some tough questions really get me thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Corrosive, the upcoming album is definitely it's an evolution from the first album, because I mean, some people are like, oh, it's a continue. Some people can say, oh, this album is a continuation from that. And I feel like this is an evolution. It's the step up, without going into any like completely specific details about any songs, but we definitely, outdid ourselves, so to speak, musicianship wise on the upcoming album. So in terms of that, I would say, that's definitely we intend to do going forward. It's always about outdoing the last and trying to evolve as much as possible so that you sound like yourself. Because music is, it's very hard to, like, when you can hear a bass part or a drum, a guitar part, you recognize it immediately. That's when you know you're a great musician, and you know that you are, like, going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could tell a Black Sabbath song the first nanosecond you hear the riff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can hear, you know, and with Iron Maiden, you can tell right away that Steve Harris is playing bass. With vocals, you can tell right away, like, you know, who the singer is. Instantly identifiable. James Hetfield, you know it's him right when you hear him.
Mm-hmm.
You want to when you get to that spot, you know that you're a unique band amongst the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. And are there any other forms of art that you've wanted to dip your toes into but haven't yet?
I haven't really thought about that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You mean besides music?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I'd have to think about that one, but I can't think of anything right now.
Mm-hmm. No problem. Are there any other genres you've wanted to try out but haven't yet?
Like performance-wise, I don't really know, actually. I mean, I do like other genres too. I'm a big fan of rap music as well, which would come as a surprise to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I like jazz, I like blues. You know, so there are genres that I definitely like that are not rock, you know, metal or hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. I never say never.
Yeah, totally.
We'll see what happens.
Totally. And
I'm not opposed to it.
Sure, sure, sure. What have you found to be the most difficult part of the creation process for you personally?
Like, in terms of making the album, or in terms of, like, just generally speaking throughout the band, like, what's the most difficult thing?
I guess, yeah, I guess generally more. So when it comes to writing music, when it comes to practicing, when it comes to performing, what part of that entire, you know, beginning to end process is the most difficult for you? Or what sort of maybe road bumps do you find yourself hitting along the way?
In terms of, I guess, like, well, creatively, I don't really feel like there's a lot of roadblocks because we always try to make things work. I feel like bands that do that have a much easier time. If you're too picky about your sound, you often don't go places because you're too worried about how something will sound, because you have this sort of, like, I guess, you know, overly meticulous mindset where it has to be this, has to be that, to the dot, can't be changed. And I don't think that works. To me, you really have to set your style and try to make things fit within that without trying to prevent any kind of creativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. And what are your goals for 2022?
To put the second Corrosive album out and to hopefully get some more shows. You know, I mentioned it earlier, but I'll reiterate it. We're opening for Exciter on Saturday, and they're a well-known Canadian metal band who's been, you know, around the block for almost 40 years. And I've been a big fan of them for many years. And the teenage me would be in jubilation right now. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in jubilation right now, and I'm 24 years old, and I'm it's bringing the kid out in me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's ultimately the goal. And we have another show lined up in October, opening for the legendary German metal band Accept. They're well known for many songs that were very well known in, like, the 80s metal scene, such one being Fast as a Shark, for example. So I cannot believe that I'm opening for them as well. I'm in, you know, as I said, I'm in jubilation over that. So that would be Corrosive's, I guess for Corrosive was to get the album out and hopefully play some more shows along with those that I previously mentioned with the Slime. Similar stuff. I mean, the Slime is always writing music. We're a frequent gigging band. Mm-hmm. And there's a potential for a tour sometime mid to late fall. So I'm hoping that we could figure something out there.
Amazing. And what would the tour look like? Where would you be heading?
It'll mainly be, to my knowledge right now, it'll mainly be within, the country, but, you know, like with Corrosive, I do hope to take the Slime internationally too, because ultimately, as I said earlier, the goal is to make sure that you get out of the country and your local scene, because that's where you're really going to make things, make things happen for you.
Of course. Yeah.
The Tragically Hip are a rare example of where you can, you know, be super big in one country and one country alone.
True. True. And what can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
In what sense exactly?
Yeah, within the next, like, month, in the next, you know, few weeks or so, what's going to happen that people should look for?
Well, keep your eyes peeled for the album. That's the main thing, and keep your eye out for album announcements, for any shows. I mean, that's the main thing. Keep your eyes peeled for all that, because if you want to come have some fun, come to our shows.
Amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for speaking with me tonight.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Likewise.
It's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
No problem. And everybody listening, you can go find Derek online at DerekDMoney98 on Instagram or under Derek Solomos on everything else. And you can find his bands Corrosive and The Slime on all streaming services and Bandcamp. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Corrosive. Slaughter the Preacher is a song about corrupt religious figures and the abuse of power.
Hey guys, I'm Derek Solomos, and you're listening to Hot Shots On Air on Indie 101.5.